new types of spiders have been found in Georgia, in Athens specifically. Bad news if you are arachnophobe, glad tidings if you're an arachnologist, a person who studies spiders. And that's Bud Freeman. He and his team of spider hunters lead the search for new types of arachnids all across the state. He's also director of the Georgia Museum of Natural History. Hi, Bud.
Hi, Celeste. Good morning.
Congratulations, I guess, are in order. How common is it to find new types of spiders?
There are probably many cryptic species that we don't see, but it's really fortunate to see something large and showy like these two spiders that turned up this year in Clark County.
And I saw pictures of them. Maybe you could describe them for listeners.
Sure. They're both right now in the genus Nephila, okay, and this is a group of tropical spiders. And the banana spider, and folks in South Georgia and South Carolina will often call them breakbacks. If you're walking through the woods and see this large spider, you stop in your tracks. All right, so that's the banana spider. The other spider, which is brand new, is the Juro spider. And it's hails from China, Japan, Korea, reports as far south as India. So it has a wide distribution.
So
what's really...
I'm sorry. I was just going to ask about the banana spider because I thought they were only found in like Central and South America, but they're big, right? They cover your whole hand.
They're big. I mean, you know, legs and all, they might cover most of your hand, but they have a large showy web. It's gold. But here's what's really interesting. There was an article published a couple of years ago that was a review of the expansion of the range of the banana spider. And it turns out that the first documented occurrence of the banana spider in the United States was in 1863.
Oh, wow.
And in the port of Charleston. And so Darwin noted in 1845 that spiders often can attach to the riggings of ships. And so I'm thinking that perhaps the banana spider was the first of two of these spiders that were transported by commerce, by shipping. And you're quite right. If you go to Costa Rica, you'll see banana spiders. And that gives somebody pause and say, wait a minute, that's a tropical species. What's it doing up in temperate climates?
Yeah, and yeah, exactly. Not as hot, and even though it feels like it, and not quite as wet as South America. So, I mean, what is what is the interest? What are your questions now about these spiders, besides how they got here? What's your next question as you watch them?
What's several of them. Okay, so one question is, how far will the Juro spider establish itself? I mean, obviously, if it can withstand winters in temperate climates like Japan and Korea, it should do well here. And we know it's been in Georgia we're estimating at least 6 years. So we want to learn something about its life history. What are its potential impacts on the rest of the ecosystem, if any? And there may be zero impacts. Okay? And then the second thing is, now we have two related species suddenly in contact with each other. What's going to happen?
You mean, are they going to crossbreed and create a mutant banana Juro spider?
I doubt that. There's been another recent article published looking at the phylogenetics of the entire group of what we know as
the Nephilidae.
Okay, yeah. Nephila. And there's some thought that the old world spiders, if you will, in China, and there's a lot of species, may be not as closely related to the species in the New World, okay? And so the generic name, Nephila, may change to something else for the banana spider.
Okay. Both of these spiders are part of what's known as the golden silk orb weaver?
Right.
Okay. Probably the number one question for many people listening is, are they dangerous?
No. They're not dangerous. They're not dangerous to humans.
Right, but they're dangerous.
But all spiders have got some sort of venom, okay, that can be used to immobilize prey.
Right, but not humans.
But not humans. Okay, so we don't see any there have been some descriptions of the bite of the Jaro spider. It might be like a bee sting. This was from some literature in Japan, and it quickly goes away. All right, so these are not black or brown widows or brown recluse spiders.
Meaning that, but they're very efficient hunters, though, of their own prey, meaning that if you walk into your pantry and you find a really quite large banana spider, I mean, you're downplaying it, but they're big. If you find one in there, don't scream and smash it, right?
Call the Museum of Natural History.
And they'll come and collect your banana spider?
We'll come and collect your banana spider. But, you know, you're not going to find them in a house, all right? So they're aerial predators. They've got to set a web that has some access to either an active area where other insects are foraging, or it can be exposed to a clear shot through the air. And so in Asia, you may see photographs of Jaro spiders built with webs built on between lines strung on power poles.
Yeah, and okay. It's kind of exciting to watch him hunt. There's videos on the internet that you can take a look at if you have the stomach for it. Bud Freeman does. He's the director of Georgia Museum of Natural History, and he will take those banana and Jaro spiders off your hands should you find them in your yard. Bud, thank you so much.
Thanks, Celeste.
Just ahead, we take a trip to the General Muir. That's an Atlanta restaurant renowned for its Jewish-Mexican fare. This is on Second Thought.